Brother Gordon and the invitation. I do count it a privilege always. I thought that I was going to get out of it today. And when we were leaving my mother-in-law's house, I realized I'd left my notebook at home in her house. I turned around and went back in to get it, just in case. It's a privilege to stand before people and open the Word of God. I pray that you would pray for me. So let's bow together. Father, we're so thankful that we can be in your house. We stand before you in awe. We think of the things that we've already heard today. The wonderful things that we've been able to ponder about an empty tomb. And the sovereign one who took upon himself my sin, laid down his life, but that death and that tomb could not hold him. And we're so thankful that we can ponder these things, that we can see these things by faith. You have revealed to us some amazing things, and pray that you would continue to do so tonight as we seek to stand in awe of you. We would ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. I would ask you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6 tonight. Very familiar passage. A passage that's been preached and preached, and yet this is where the Lord has drawn my heart. Title of the message, Unparalleled Amazement. Unparalleled Amazement. Think about what Isaiah saw here. Verse 1 tells us, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. As I ponder on this and I think about what he saw, he wasn't dreaming, it wasn't a fantasy, it wasn't something made up or exaggerated. By the blessing of God, Isaiah had the privilege of having his eyes open to see this. Oh, that we would have our eyes open to see God as he really is. Most people, I believe, and sometimes we, if we're not careful, suffer from a condition I call small God-itis. They take a God that they can put in their pocket, put him on the shelf, put him in the drawer, get rid of him, do what they want, and then I'm going to go ahead and do what I want because I can. And we think God's not seeing anything. We think God's not able to do anything about it. And if we're not careful, we can suffer from that. He didn't suffer from that. He fell before God. And I'm thinking about the fact that he was so blessed to see this. I want to organize my thoughts around three things: his unrivaled awe, his unyielding authority, and his unmatched ability, as we see here in verse 1. We see him seated on a throne. Now, we see him seated in this lofty position upon the throne, that throne that demonstrates his authority, that throne that demonstrates his command, and everything's under control. He's seated. He's not jumping up to spring to action because something's, you know, getting out of hand and I've got to go deal with this. And that was always, and I know I've said that this from this pulpit, that as a young man, my vision of God was somebody old, grandpa-like, and I guess I'm a grandpa now. I mean, I don't guess I am, I know I am. And just wandering around heaven, pulling levers and pushing buttons, and just this kindly old man that wouldn't hurt a flea. That's not the picture of God that we see in the Scriptures. And Isaiah saw the Lord sitting. He's just in complete control. There's nothing going on that has caused him to be nervous, to sweat, to stand and get ready for action. He's calmly in control of all things. He's sitting and he's high and lifted up. He's in an elevated position of royalty and majesty. He's not lowly. He's not the governor of a state or the mayor of a small town. His seat is lofty. And Isaiah said he was high and lifted up. And Isaiah got to see this. We should stand in awe of who he is. This unparalleled amazement that Isaiah would have experienced. We see that his train filled the temple. To me, that speaks of his royal robe, and his royal robe speaks of his authority. If you turn over to Matthew 23 with me, we might see a glimpse of what seems to me is going on here. Matthew 23 and verse 5. As we consider his unparalleled amazement as to what he'd seen, caused him to fall down before him. You know, caused him to fall down before God. Woe is me. In Matthew 23 and verse 5, the Lord, dealing with the scribes and Pharisees and so on, he says, "But in all their works they do for to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." In my understanding of this, it was an indication of their rank, of their authority. Making broad their borders of their garment, enlarging the borders of their garments. We would, in our military, we would see a three-star or some general or some high-ranking person where the breast of the suit is just full of medals and ribbons and so on, and stars on the collar and stripes on the shoulders and all the military formality for demonstrating rank. And this society was a little different. Their robes being around the borders, enlarged to demonstrate rank. And here Isaiah tells us that his train filled the temple. It filled the temple. What does that tell me? That it filled the temple. That there's no room for improvement. It's full. The demonstration of his rank is full. His rank filled the temple. There's nowhere to go higher than this. There's no loftier position than this. And Isaiah stands in unparalleled amazement as he begins to say, "I saw the Lord. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." As I thought about this unparalleled amazement, I thought about this unrivaled awe. There's no person, no power, no entity, no thing that can generate within a person more awe than God. We stand and we look at certain things. We stand and we maybe look at a storm and just say, "Wow." Last summer in August, we just had finished our services. I don't know if you got the same storm or not. We had just finished our services at Faith Missionary, and the young fellas had gone outside in the parking lot to play, and they came inside, and their faces were kind of big, and they said, "You need to come outside and see this." And I kind of thought, "Yeah, what? You know, Some kid threw a ball through a window or something. I didn't know what it, you need to come see this. So I went out there and I broke around the corner of the church building and I went, whoa, what is that? And the sky had become dark green. And this is 4:30 in the afternoon and you can just see this wall coming at us. And everybody kind of scattered, and we all went home. And from the time that it took me 2 miles to get home, it looked like war had broken out in our area. Tree limbs were flying around. Power was out at home for a little while. And you just go, wow, the power of that storm. And that doesn't equate to one fraction of the power of God. Because he can calm that storm. And he caused, by the way, the storm, right? We know that he has his way in the whirlwind. But in this unparalleled amazement, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated upon his throne, and his train filled the temple. Unrivaled awe. Look with me in Psalm 93. This majesty, this beauty, to see the Lord. If we could through the eyes of faith see God for who He is, it would cause us to humble ourselves before Him. It would cause us to live our lives differently. And we need to be reminded of this, I think, all the time. Psalm 93... Verses 1 and 2. It is a good thing. Let me get to 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he had girded himself. No one gave it to him. He girded himself. The world also is established, and it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. In this unparalleled amazement of Isaiah being able to say, I saw. He saw unrivaled awe. He was in a position of unparalleled, unrivaled awe of what he saw. No storm could take precedence over this. No earthly power could take precedence over this. No power in heaven, no power below. We think of Daniel chapter 4. And the armies of heaven, the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Unparalleled or unrivaled awe of his majesty, of his beauty, of his royalty. Nothing and no one can compare to him. And Isaiah got to see this. Oh, that we could, through the eye of faith, see a glimpse of what Isaiah saw. If by the blessing of God, the Spirit of God would paint a picture in our hearts, this time of year especially, I guess, you see all kinds of artwork that's supposed to depict Christ and so on and so on. And I'm just so disheartened in that. It seems to me that that takes away from God. It seems to me that that puts a human element in my understanding of who God is. But if the believer filled with the Spirit of God will have the blessing of the Spirit of God revealing to that believer who God is, and have the Spirit of God paint a picture on my heart of who God is, and I can say through the eye of faith, I see God. Not some artist's rendering of God, not this usually sissified version of what they say He looked like and all that kind of stuff, but see God, the God of the Scriptures, the God whose throne is from everlasting, the God who is unrivaled in His ability to produce awe. Man may have moments of greatness. There have been men that foster in others this respect, this even a level of awe of some of the things that men can accomplish. And you take a great leader and you say, it's just amazing. Some of the things that he's done, you're just amazed at how he was able to pull the troops together and march forth and so on and different things. You stand in awe at men's ability to create. Nothing parallels. Nothing comes close to the awe that should be in our hearts as we ponder the creator of the universe that spoke all things into existence. The one who, without any sweat, without any, strength required, although he is all strength, he is sovereign power, he just speaks, and there it is. And he speaks, and the storm is gone. He just speaks and life comes into dead people, dead bodies. It's just unrivaled awe that we should see. But most people, and too many times, God's people, they think about God and they go, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Preacher preaching his heart out, you know, just preaching the word of God, preaching his heart out. And folks can be going, oh man, is he about done yet? You know? No awe whatsoever. Just yawn. Oh God, help us to see God in his unrivaled awe. His train filled the temple. There is absolutely none higher than him. And in this, we see unending authority. Temporary greatness doesn't mean a whole lot. I'm thankful for our political system. I'm thankful that those that are there can't be there very long. I'm remorseful for those that put some of them there because they're going to put more in there like them. But I'm thankful for our system because it's not a for-life system. A man can have incredible power. They call the office of the President of the United States the leader of the free world. Probably not an accurate assessment anymore, but that's what they call it. And yet we recognize that he's there 4 years or 8 years or in some circumstances a few more than that, but he's got this greatness, he's got this authority, he yields all this power, but it's so temporary. It's going to be gone. Although I guess we pay him the rest of his life, but he's no longer in office. And even in the monarchy system, where the king lives until, or is in power until he's dead, he still dies. When Isaiah saw this, and he saw this throne, he saw unending authority. Unending authority. Look at Psalm 45. Psalm 45. Verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. And we can read in Hebrews the same thing. It's an unending throne. His unending authority. Greatness and those things that cause men to look at other men with a level of awe and respect. No matter how high and lofty another man may raise to and achieve, it's brief. It's so very brief. And yet we see Isaiah, he got to see eternity. He got to see unending authority. Temporary greatness doesn't mean much. You know, temporary authority doesn't mean much. Sooner or later, somebody can come in and take you out of authority. That's never going to happen with God. His throne is eternal. He may have, a man may have short periods of abounding in authority and abounding in power and abounding in majesty, but then it's over. Never with God. He says in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, as we look into this a little more deeply. Isaiah 6:1, in the year that I saw King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Unparalleled amazement. Unrivaled awe. An unending authority. Holy, holy, holy. I said this yesterday at the conference, and I bring it up whenever I read the word holy. To me, that indicates that set apartness. The word holy comes from the word that is also often translated sanctified. And so I see holy and sanctified, which always means to be set apart for a holy purpose. I see this, holy, 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 he's set apart, he's one of a kind, he's unique. Hear the thrice holy God, none like him. Holy, holy, holy. Unique, unique, unique. Set apart, set apart, set apart. Nobody like him, nobody like him, nobody like him. And Isaiah saw it. He saw it. What an amazing thing. Unparalleled amazement. Godhead separate from all other entities of power. An unmatched ability. Unmatched ability. As we see him seated upon his throne. Commanding all, just simply by his direction, not having to get up, but this unmatched ability, authority, without ability, doesn't mean much. But here, he has the authority and the ability. Look at Psalm 47 with me, if you would. Psalm 47. And verses 1 through 3. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. We would probably understand that in our vernacular as awesome. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. The Lord Most High is terrible or awesome. He's not average. Isaiah did not see in this blessed vision some earthly monarch, some lowly man. He saw the Lord seated upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the whole temple. Unrivaled awe, unending authority, unmatched ability is represented here. We notice then Isaiah's response in Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. We see far too many people that say they've met God and never get to the point of woe is me. We see far too many people that are far too comfortable with their understanding of who God is. But if you begin to read this book and you begin to see by the blessing of the Spirit of God who God really is. If we could see by the Spirit teaching our understanding, as we read the book, as we read Genesis in the first couple of chapters there, that in the beginning, God, and He begins His creative week. And I love that little phrase, and He made the stars also. He just made the stars also. That which scientists and those exploring space have spent billions and trillions of dollars in many, many years studying and observing and now even trying to go out and physically examine. And we've reached the tip of the iceberg. And He made the stars also. And if we could see with the blessing of the Spirit opening our understanding to God that can part the Red Sea. If we could see God that judges those that stand in opposition to Him. If we could see as we read Leviticus 10. With Nadab and Abihu presenting before the Lord strange fire, and He takes their lives right on the spot. We wouldn't yawn and stretch and, you know, go, oh well, I've heard that God stuff before. I've heard Brother Gordon preach that before. We couldn't do it. Not if we could see what Isaiah saw. Not if we could see the God of the Bible. And I'm reminded of the fact that the Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, under my authority, being directed by my authority, and meeting under my authority, there am I in the midst of them. And so when we gather together in the house of God, under His authority, being directed by Him, He's there. And I don't know, you know, sometimes I don't act like that. Sometimes we don't act like that. But He's there. But if the Lord could reveal to us what He revealed to Isaiah, that unparalleled amazement that would take over us, that unrivaled awe that would take over us, that unyielding authority that we could, unending authority that we could see in God, realizing that it is before this God that I will one day stand. It is before this God that I will one day have to give account. It is before this God, in one setting or another, be it the Bema Seat or be it the Great White Throne Judgment, all will stand before Him. And if I could see that in this life more clearly, like Isaiah saw very clearly the Lord, and Isaiah's response was, woe is me. For I am undone. And our response for the people that see God for who He is, oh me, I am unworthy, I am undone. I need mercy. Never see the psalmist asking for justice, right? I need mercy. I need mercy, I need grace. Woe is me. And let's just read it, because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. See, he's gotten to that place of woe is me, because mine eyes have seen the King. I saw Him. And it has opened my eyes to His unending authority and His unmatched ability, and I realize This is no mayor of some little town that I'm standing before. You know, authority gets our attention, right? Every one of us understands that. Authority gets your attention, right? You look in your mirror and you see, woo, woo, woo. And you know he's not going to come up there and providing we're talking about a speeding ticket, you know he's not going to come in there and cuff you and put you in jail. You know he's not going to pull his weapon on you and take your life. And yet, right here in your neck, you feel boom, 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 boom. There's authority there. And it gets your attention. And back in the days of production control, my phone would ring. Didn't have cell phones way back then. My desk phone, my office phone would ring, and I never knew who was on the other end of that. And I'd pick it up, and it could be a coworker. Hey, I need some of these. No problem. Sometimes the phone rings. I pick it up.
Hey, Randy. It's the owner.
Yes? I've been good. What? You got a minute? Yeah. What am I going to say? No? Yeah. Be right there. I don't care what I'm doing. Authority gets your attention. Oh, that the Lord would get our attention. Oh, that the Lord would get our attention a whole lot more than, hey, Randy, it's the owner. Need to talk to you for a minute. But that God would get our attention and cause in us, woe is me. I'm not fit to stand before this God. In and of myself, I'm unworthy to stand before Him. I need to stand before Him in Christ. The only hope that I have. He has unmatched ability. He sees everything. He knows everything. And I will one day stand before Him that does see everything and know everything. Isaiah's response, woe is me. Humbling. We see the same thing when Paul met the Lord on the Damascus Road. And he saw the Lord. What wilt thou have me do? His first response when he truly saw the Lord and saw Him for who He was, what wilt thou have me do? Complete surrender right now. Complete, unyielding surrender immediately. Now, you know, I really got to go over here and get this, and I'd like to take care of some things over here, and I should probably go over here and close these accounts out. And just give me a week, Lord. No. What wilt thou have me do? He just saw God. And I love hearing Paul later on with Festus and Felix and Agrippa, those there at the end of the book of Acts, giving his testimony. He loves to give his testimony. How he met the Lord. How the Lord stopped him in his tracks, you know. How the Lord redirected the rest of his life. Because he met that day God. Oh, that you and I would really see Him for who He is. And even those that, and especially those that are here and saved, that we would continue to see Him for who He is. And stand in unparalleled amazement. Isaiah said the same thing here in verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? And then said I, here am I! Send me. He's ready to serve. Willing and ready. What's your view of God? High and lifted up. Commanding all authority, unending authority. What's your view of God? Little God that I can silence when I don't want to listen to Him? Little God that I can put behind my back and get Him out of my way when I'm tired of dealing with Him? Little God or sovereign God? What's your view? What's your response? When you read in Isaiah 6, and even if a person can from external actions, convince everyone around them,
I'm bowing before God, just look at me.
So were the Pharisees, sort of. They were steeped in religion. They were lost. And in their hearts, they were not bowing before God. May that not be our testimonies. But that our testimonies, that, and where I was going with that to begin with was, even if you can fool everybody else, you can fool the preacher, you can fool your spouse, you can fool your kids, you can fool your parents, you can't fool God. He knows. Because you're standing before one of unrivaled awe and unending authority and unmatched ability. And it ought to work in us unparalleled amazement. As the psalmist in 139 saw the omnipresence of the Lord, he said, such things are too wonderful for me. I cannot attain. I that's deeper than my brain goes. How about you? What do you see as the God of the Bible? What's your response to the God of the Bible? The Bible tells us more than one place, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I had somebody tell me once, wonder why the Bible says that if not everybody's going to. I said, what in the world are you talking about? Some will in this life. Some will when they stand before Him. But all will bow. On the authority of the Word of God, I beg of you, bow before Him now. Obey the command of the Lord. Come unto me. May the Lord give each one of us a constant reminder of what Isaiah saw. And just keep our so-called, as we would say, keep our feet to the fire constantly. May we not forget who He is.